You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. On this episode, we'll be connecting with two of my friends from across this weird country of ours. And that's TFG1 Mike and DJ Valentine. Welcome, guys.
I'm not Batman.
No, I'm Batman.
You sound like the bad 70s version of the Joker or something.
I know, right? Doesn't that just sound like craziness?
Where's your Fruit Loops when you need them?
I lost them on the highway.
That really hurt.
You got to have the high pitched laugh. that laugh.
Yeah, I can't do that. Steve can do that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I can channel the Joker voice at times for the laughter part, but I can do Hamill's Joker. That's what happens when you play, you know, probably 100 hours of Arkham games.
Yeah, if you watch enough Batman anime series, play enough Arkham games, you start adopting Hamill.
Well, that's the funny thing,
Conroy
too.
And all the rest of them.
The more you watch them and hear them, the more you can pick out their persona out of things, and you can duplicate it.
Right.
So, you know what's interesting to me is that past The Dark Knight Rises, I have not seen a single Christian Bale film, and I'm proud of that fact because...
Really?
Other than when he'll be in Thor Love and Thunder, supposedly in 2022 or maybe 2023 or whenever the hell they're going to get back to that, I have not seen a single one of his films. I want to see Ford versus Ferrari. But
Ferrari's excellent. And
I want to see that. I just have not seen... Okay, so... I know this is off topic, but it's related to Batman because he was Batman at one point. Mm-hmm. Out of the Furnace in 2013, American Hustle in 2013.
Big Short, he's excellent in. He's great in that.
Okay.
Hostiles, he's great in that.
Okay.
Out of the Furnace, he's great in that. Exodus, Gods and Kings, you can skip. That's so horrible.
I figured.
Vice, he's amazing. He is Dick Cheney. It's creepy. How close he is to Cheney. Like I look at it and like halfway through the movie, you forget it's Christian Bale. You just think it's Dick Cheney because it's perfect Dick Cheney.
That's awesome.
Especially because the guy is Welsh. He's not American at all.
Exactly.
He's a bloody chameleon.
Yes, he is.
That's right. All right, Steve, we're here to talk about Batman.
Yes, we're here to talk about The Dark Knight.
We'll be talking about the speculation and rumors that have been flying like, well, bats on social media. And in doing so, people have been losing their mind over the possibility that Michael Keaton may return to the role of Batman.
Now, we want to make sure everybody listens to this podcast the first under 10 minutes, and we want to say this period is all period speculation exclamation point. Because apparently, because apparently we say stuff on this podcast that people lose their stuff over.
So
we're not reporting any facts. Michael Keaton has not accepted the role. Until Michael Keaton or Warner Brothers or AT&T or whoever puts it out on social media, or until I see a trailer, I am not believing that Michael Keaton would be in the potential Flash film, if the Flash film even happens.
Yeah, they've gone through enough people making that movie. Until the Flash film was in theaters, I don't believe it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is I saw this start posting up probably last week sometime. The fact that Warner Brothers was in talks with Michael Keaton, which in talks doesn't mean anything.
No.
People act like it is something terrible, but it's the fact of the matter is they've approached him. That's about it. Like
they contacted an agent. Somebody said something to us, you know, an assistant or, you know,
exactly.
maybe a studio head goes, we'd like Michael Keaton for the role, and nobody has denied it from his camp. And that through literally the definition of in talks is nothing. Yes. It's nothing.
It's nothing.
But what we're here to discuss is the speculation of if it happens. I've noticed a lot of news sites are using clickbaity titles to make it sound like he accepted the role. And then you read down in the very last sentence of whatever that page happens to be, he's currently in talks. There's been no concrete decision by Michael Keaton or in Warner Brothers, like, at this time. Which to me is hilarious. The other funny thing is like within the last couple days, I've seen Christian Bale's name floated around as another possibility should Keaton not take it. And this is, again, all speculation because there's nothing out there that says any of them are going to take this. What's funny is Affleck, they didn't really give him much of a turn at it, but he's probably the one that looks the closest to, like, at least as Bruce Wayne looks the closest to, like, the DC Animated Universe version. Right. With that kind of chiseled look. But I don't get me wrong, I love Keaton, and I would love to see him reprise it, but more so in a Batman Beyond film.
Yeah, that's the only... When I heard this news, I was like... All I saw was Michael Keaton in talks to reprise the role as Batman, and I was like, please tell me it's Batman Beyond. And then I saw Flashpoint, I was like, this is a waste of Michael Keaton. Because, exactly. Again, it's that movie is literally a up in the air trying to fix their already fractured universe movie. I don't want to waste Michael Keaton on that. I want to waste Michael Keaton or we use Michael Keaton on a standalone Batman Beyond. That's how Matt Reeves is doing his own Batman movies and Todd Phillips is doing his own Joker crap. Make Batman Beyond separate from everything else. It has the benefit of the future where you can make it be separate from everything else because it's what, 50 years in the future, something like that? So I'd rather that than sticking Michael Keaton in a Flashpoint movie that's on its fourth director that's been delayed 5 years with maybe an actor that's not even going to be playing the Flash to begin with. Don't waste Michael Keaton on that. For the simple fact that Michael Keaton is still tied to the Sony universe is weird anyway. If you're going to pull him back, I'd rather pull him back for a co-lead, which would be Batman Beyond, not a Nick Fury, which I heard a Nick Fury-esque cameo role. I would back the truck up to Michael Keaton, and I would put him as the co-lead in the Batman Beyond movie. That's what I would do, but, you know, it's Warner Brothers. They're weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Warner Brothers. They're weird.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I don't understand... I'm also seeing, like, that they might have him as the Kingdom Come Batman, like, pop around. And meanwhile, this is all while...
We already saw that ruined on the CW.
Yeah,
they ruined I don't know if
Wait, the Conroy. You really think that was ruined?
Yeah. Yes. They made the Kevin Conroy, my favorite Batman of all time.
They made him the villain.
Finally gets to play a live-action Batman, and they make him a piece of crap? That's a waste of Kevin... That was the biggest waste of Kevin Conroy I have ever seen. Ever.
Yeah, considering Ruby Rose gave up the role after the first season.
Right.
Oh, it's too much hard work.
There was a great scene on the ad campaign for that, and it's not even in the show, where the Flash meets Kevin Conroy in the Batcave, and it was just an ad for the show. It was not in any of that arc. I'm like, why? Why would you not make Kevin Conroy get to play Batman live action just as Batman? He's not even playing Batman. He's playing evil Batman.
See, yeah. I didn't even see that.
Racist Batman. It's like, what? Why? What a waste of Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, it was like xenophobic Batman. Like
xenophobic evil Batman. It was like, oh, God. Yeah. You could have got anybody at that point. They could have pulled out some other. They could have got Bruce Greenwood. If you're going to, or anybody else that's playing, Alan Tudyk, anybody.
Diedrich Bader. Clooney,
anybody.
Him anyway.
Jesus. If you're going to do that, don't waste Conroy.
I do have to say, though, it is, this was a few months ago now, before the whole, you know, cosmic rust hit the world. I saw it, and don't ask me why. It was it was online. Somebody shared an article. It's not like I actually watched the show on the regular. Somebody shared a Good Morning America article with Val Kilmer because he was promoting his new book at the time. Val Kilmer was going through throat cancer treatment. And I watched the interview and I'm like, say what you will about Batman Forever, but he did a fairly good job as Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not the best Batman, and no one can blame him for the damn bat nipples because that was a costume design choice. The actor does not, most of the time, unless you're Tom Cruise, the actor really has no control over what bat suit he gets to wear. Mm-hmm. But it saddened me so much to see that he had gone through the throat cancer stuff. And I'm like, oh, and seeing him in the interview was like, that's Val Kilmer. Like,
yeah, man,
he looks so he's gone through a lot of stuff. I don't know who, like, yes, Michael Keaton. I would love to see him back as old man Bruce. I just don't know any young actors right now. Or by the time this potential movie fix-a thing happens, that could play Terry.
I know one. When I first heard this news, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, we were both like, why don't you use Michael Keaton for Batman Beyond? And he was like, well, how would you do it? And I was like, well, I get Michael Keaton. Even though I would have to back a truck up because he's probably been snake bitten from doing comic movies that failed before, I'd get Alex Garland, who directed Dread, and I'd get Timothy Chalamet as Terry McGinnis. And I'd do it right now before Timothy Chalamet gets older, because he's a very, 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 very good actor who looks just like Terry McGinnis, who could play that role.
What's his name?
And Timothy Chalamet. He was in he's in Dune. He's in a new Dune movie. He's the lead. He's in Lady Bird for a little bit. He was in the movie with Call Me By Your Name with Armie Hammer. Looks just like Terry McGinnis.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good actor, but he's right at the cusp of being getting away with being a teenager and being in the 20s. So they would have to do it very, very soon. But that's how I would do it. There's actors of note that could play Terry McGinnis, but me, I'm always looking for the best actor. And I think Timothy Chalamet, he's Oscar nominated. I'd rather go that route than, you know, they'll probably go newcomer. I don't want him to go Disney bopper. I want to get somebody who knows their way around a script, who Michael Keaton can have scenes with, and Michael Keaton doesn't eat their lunch. Timothy Chalamet can hang with a Michael Keaton because in Call Me By Your Name, he hangs with Michael Stuhlberg, who's one of the greatest actors alive right now, and he does great scenes with him. He's going to be working with Oscar Isaac and Josh Brolin in a Dune movie, and Denis Villeneuve picked him as the lead for Dune for a reason. So that's who I would pick, but there are them out there, but it's few and far between.
Yeah.
See,
and it's still good, Steve.
Well, I was going to say, like, I've been wanting a Batman Beyond movie since
years.
Like, I think it was like 2006. I saw the first like joke about it going around, and it was when like Heroes was on TV, and they had that Milo Ventimiglia or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just as a, you know, Photoshop deal. But I saw Keaton as like old man Bruce there, and I was like, holy crap! Like, this could work. Like, if they went this route, you know, and that would, even then, it would fit kind of weird with like somebody that's done, you know, even Tim Burton could possibly pull something off like that maybe back then, but even then his stuff was kind of weird. But if they would have got somebody that had some of the sci-fi futuristic stuff like Tron Legacy kind of had, you know, you could pull off a Neo Gotham pretty realistically with it.
That's why I went Alex Garland, because he's done Dread, which was a very Batman-esque character, which was set in the future, but it still it was gritty. And then he's done Ex Machina, which was an Annihilation, which were very clean, super sci-fi stuff. That's why he was the first name that popped into my head. But you can go with any other. You're talking about Tron Legacy. You're talking about Joseph Kaczynski, who's doing Top Gun with the Top Gun 2 or whatever. He did Tron Legacy. He did Oblivion, which is very futuristic. So that could be a great route to go to. You can do Batman Beyond. It's almost like a Last Airbender situation where the material is right there and it shouldn't be this difficult to do. But mm-hmm. for some reason, nobody can go to a studio and go, hey, I got an idea, futuristic Batman. Because that's your pitch. You don't really need to go anywhere. You don't got to go into detail. Batman in the future. You're done.
That's how Bruce Timm did it. So, and the funny thing is, again, like I said at the top of the show, I hadn't seen a lot of Christian Bale films past Dark Knight Rises or whatever it is. I haven't seen a lot of Michael Keaton films in a long time. But for me, there was one film, and I know everybody in the room is going to groan because nobody in this room besides me actually enjoys this movie. As soon as I heard him and saw him in Need for Speed, I was like, man,
that's the Michael Keaton movie you go to.
It's
not Spotlight, like not Batman. Homecoming.
Like I said, Homecoming, you can't compare Adrian Toomes to Batman. No,
I'm going to compare the car scene where he's threatening Spider-Man to Batman because that was frightening. And I go, oh, wow.
That was, yeah.
He'll be terrifying. He'll be still that great. Because that's all old Batman, Bruce Wayne is in Batman Beyond, is an old man that still scares the crap out of you. And in that scene where he's scaring Tom Holland, I was like, that's freaking Bruce Wayne. Old,
that's
mean Bruce Wayne.
that's true. I mean, I guess the reason why, besides the fact that I like the way that he acted in Need for Speed, for what little acting he does in it, not that he's not acting, but for what scenes he has in that film, is because he basically plays a reclusive billionaire retired from.
He does in RoboCop as well, and it's awful. Mm. He's done better work, I would say. Spotlight. He's done that. What was the other one he did that recently? Birdman. I mean, he's done stuff that we're like, oh, wow, Michael Keaton still is firing on all cylinders. He's done, you know, the Need for Speed. I need to buy another boat for my lake house or whatever movies. But he's also done really good stuff, too, I would say.
Hey, as a fan of that franchise and waiting years and years and years for a film from that franchise, the plot was generic as hell, but they nailed the location looks, at least.
Talking about Need for Speed?
Yeah.
It's essentially, hey, we need our Fast and the Furious movie. That's what that movie is. It's like, they have a Fast and the Furious movie? Why can't we have a Fast and the Furious movie? We can't get Vin Diesel. We'll get the guy from Breaking Bad. That was Need for Speed. that's what I got out of that.
Oy.
Sad but true. It's kind of funny. I honestly would love to see Keaton take the role on and see what he could do with it now, considering there's like an outtake from Amazing Spider-Man or whatever it is, where he's Adrian Toomes and he leans over to, you know, not Andrew Garfield.
Talking about Homecoming and Tom Holland.
Yeah, Tom Holland. And he's I don't know. I can't keep him straight because they rebooted too quick.
I don't remember or care about the Andrew Garfield one. So I go Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland. I just skip over the Amazing
Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire, I liked those films when they came out. Those were some of the first like superhero films I saw in theater. But, But no, I mean, I saw an outtake where he just leans over and he's like, I'm Batman. And then just, you know, and then they just started losing it. But I don't know. I think he's still got it. I think that he's at the right age. He could play old man Bruce, or if nothing else, a grizzled Batman ready to pass the torch. Right. It's definitely probably the way to go. I mean, I saw kind of a meme that was joking earlier, but it says, how many of you are there? And it's got, you know, the Justice League thing with Commissioner Gordon, and then it's got Keaton, Affleck, and and another version of Affleck Batman on there, and it says, not enough.
we'll save Warner Brothers by ourselves.
But yeah, there's actually a Beyond image that's been made up by Boss Logic.
Yeah, the Boss Logic image. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And he's working with Warner Brothers. He made the Shazam, the Black Adam thing for Dwayne Johnson Personal. So You know it's in the ether. They are aware of it. Is this why? If they're setting this up to lead to that, okay. But I wouldn't even half step. The only thing that makes it weird is that you're now dealing with three realms. You're dealing with the Zack Snydery realm where Ben Affleck's still kind of Batman, but we don't know. You're dealing with the Matt Reeves where Robert Pattinson is Batman. And if you do this, you're dealing with, no, Michael Keaton is now Batman. If you do Batman Beyond, then you're dealing with, oh, now Michael Keaton's Batman again. It's Warner Brothers is so splintered off. That's why I'd rather them just say, fuck it. Everything's a different realm. They're not connected at all.
So basically what you're saying is Batman Into the Batverse.
You would definitely, if they did a Batman Into the Batverse, that would work perfectly.
That would be awesome, that would be actually.
Amazing. That would be freaking amazing if they did that. If Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse never came out and they did Batman Into the Batverse, billions of dollars. Billions of dollars.
Then you could have Conroy come back.
You can have Conroy. You can have Conroy Greenwood. You can have everybody. Diedrich Bader. You can have everybody. Everybody. Jack Nicholson can pop up because there was a video where Michelle Pfeiffer had said, "Look what I found." And she found her bullwhip from Batman Returns. And I'm like, "Are they putting her in this thing?" Because I can't remember. Catwoman's not in Batman Beyond, right? She's just not there.
No, she's not there.
Well, I think Gordon. I think Barbara's there, but I don't think Barbara's there.
The funny thing is, Barbara is.
They have what was it in the Arrowverse Infinite Crisis on Infinite Earths? They had
Robert Wall.
Robert Wall. Yeah.
I know, but they had the 89 universe, and it says Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne getting married.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh okay.
It was on a newspaper article.
Oh okay.
So,
yeah,
that would be an interesting twist anyway.
Yeah, it would. It's just so funny what they could do, but what they most likely won't do.
Won't do. It's so sad because we can all, I know it's almost predictable, but it's like, you know, your audience wants this. Why would you not give them what they want? Like, what is the purpose of not giving them Batman Beyond? Unless they go, it's expensive, I guess, but it's Batman. It's not like it's a fringe character. This is probably the most iconic character in all of comic books.
You're talking about the same company that tanked their Superman reboot as the lead.
This is very true. This is also very true.
Because Superman was supposed to be the center of that universe, and then they tanked it, and they're like, oh, Batman.
Well, it was clear that the people in charge of Warner Brothers and the director at the time clearly either didn't like or didn't understand Superman. So they just said, everything has to be like Batman. So we'll make everything Batman. Superman, you're Batman now. Flash, you're Batman. Aquaman, you're cool. You gotta be cool now. You're Batman. Everybody's the only thing that kind of got was Batman. And they tried to make everything Batman around him. Wonder Woman didn't work that way. So then, thankfully, whoever made the decision, God bless him. I guess it was Zack Snyder casted her, but whoever decided to hire Patty Jenkins to do Wonder Woman, it was like the first time where they were like, okay, all right, here's somebody else with a different perspective that not everything has to be Batman.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's the only time it's worked.
It's the only time it's worked.
But no, I mean, I'm so in favor of it if it happens.
Right.
But they're also talking that if they do Flashpoint, they're like, oh, well, we're going to have, you know, Michael Keaton as old man Batman. We're going to have, you know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne Flashpoint Batman. And then that still kind of leaves Ben Affleck as possibly Batman with Pattinson.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to ever come back to it, though.
Because it got him messed. I mean, he was already kind of dealing with alcoholism and stuff, but Batman kind of, I want to say, pushed him over the edge. I just want Ben Affleck to get better, and it seems like, you know, after he kind of stepped away, it kind of gave him some clarity. Having him get pulled back into the toxic fandom of this is, you know, that seems like it's bad for him. I'd rather him just go back to making movies and working at his own pace. this fandom will eat you alive if you're not strong. I'm not calling him a weak guy, but he did have some issues that this stuff did not help. I would say the Batman v Superman stuff did not help. The Justice League stuff did not help it. So
no.
I would rather Bruce. I'd rather Ben Affleck to step back. And honestly, I don't have anything that he's done. I'm not a fan of Batman v Superman. I'm definitely not a fan of Justice League. But my problem isn't with him at all. So he could step back and say, look, I gave it my best try. I am not at fault here. I was a pretty good damn Batman. So I mean, I'm not I got more rungs at it than Clooney and Kilmer. I can step back and just go on with the rest of my career, I think.
Yep.
And that I agree with that. It's yeah. So depending on what direction you see this all going.
Right.
Who would you like to, like say they, you know, let's say for just fun of it, that they totally bypass the Flashpoint movie and then they have Keaton come back. And let's say that they don't do Batman, but they still have Keaton come back. Who would you want as the villains in that?
In the, are we talking about a Batman Beyond universe? Or are we talking about this a regular Batman or DC universe? The post Snyder cut. I'm assuming you're talking about, right?
Well, let's just say that it was an isolated incident. If they were going to bring Keaton in, like, who would you want to see him opposite of for a villain?
I would love to see their version or newer version, though I think it was done perfectly. But I can see a more rebooted version of a Ra's al Ghul, because I love Ra's al Ghul. And when Todd Phillips made Joker, and they were like, they want to make a dark universe where we're seeing the origins of these characters, who else would you want to see? I was like, you know what I would love to see? I would love to see a Ra's al Ghul movie through time. Like, he talks about we sacked Rome and we did all this stuff. Watch Ra's, because Ra's al Ghul's immortal. Watch Ra's al Ghul rise to power and stuff like that. And we've never gotten to see Keaton. We've seen Keaton versus the Joker. We've seen Keaton versus kind of the Penguin in Maxwell's Shrek. Keaton versus like a Ra's al Ghul type character, a newer version of Ra's al Ghul, I think would be cool. I think that would be a very good. I mean, that's the only villain I think that Keaton's Bruce Wayne would have an issue with, because he didn't really have that much of a difficulty with the Penguin. It was more about him and Catwoman in those movies, and then he left. So,
and the funny thing is, with the news of him potentially coming back, or the speculation of him potentially coming back, somebody else, and it hadn't reared its ugly head in a while until now, somebody else shared a "we got this covered" story with old Pfeiffer, with the old picture of Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman in the title thing. And I'm like, no, don't, and stop. For the love of God, stop sharing articles from WeGotThisCovered.com, because as soon as the Keaton thing happened, they're like, yeah, and Michelle Pfeiffer's on board too. No, she's, we don't know that.
We don't know if Keaton's on board. I mean, again,
exactly.
I'll say this, if she comes on board, I'm not going to say no, but right, I'm not going to hold my breath thinking that she's definitely coming on board. Michelle Pfeiffer don't need this. First of all, she's still part of the MCU at this time. People keep forgetting she's the Wasp.
The original, but, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. And Keaton is the Vulture, and he's in the Morbius movie that's been delayed a year. So it's weird how they're going to be able to do that. But if they just say, screw it, I mean, Thanos was Cable, so whatever. They could do a Keaton Batman movie, and they could have him versus a younger Ra's al Ghul. They can have him versus, I mean, of all the Batman villains that I like to see Batman go up against, I don't want to see another Bane again. I don't think you're going to top Tom Hardy's Bane, but you can do some more stuff with that character. I don't want to see a Riddler, really. I'm not a big fan of the Riddler. His rogues gallery is great, but, you know, it's kind of like, I kind of want to see one of those, like, the Court of Owls makes me go, like, oh, that's cool. I watch that. But, you know, I'm kind of a deep Batman fan than the stereotypical. I like the Joker. I like the Penguin. I like those guys are kind of like the window dressing. I like the more deep cut Batman villains than that.
So maybe it's just me because of, as of this recording, Funko has been revealing their San Diego Comic-Con home store exclusives. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to get flack for this, but since they're both old and they're both out of their young primes, I would love to see Michael Keaton Batman versus old Arnold Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze can work. I don't want to see Arnold Mr. Freeze, but Mr. Freeze Mr. Freeze can work. I never want to see Arnold play Mr. Freeze again. He ruined that character for me. I'm a Batman animated series Mr. Freeze. That Mr. Freeze is the one I want to see. But yes, I forgot about him. He'd be awesome.
I think that would be fairly easy to pull off. I've seen Mark Strong.
I've heard Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies as well. Who because Mr. Freeze can be an old man. He can be Patrick Stewart, for Christ's sake. Essentially a suit walking around. You can cast for actor, not for physical ability. That's why I don't need Schwarzenegger. I'm going to cast the best actor. You give me a Mark Strong. You give me Ben Kingsley. Anybody like who's kind of can encompass that cold demeanor, and I would be giving whoever is cast the actor every episode of the animated series. Do this. Do this. This is your homework. Do not watch Batman and Robin. You watch these animated episodes, and this is what I want. I want that I want that tragedy. I want that tragedy because Arnold didn't really have that. He was just doing puns for 50 freaking minutes.
Yes, he was doing puns for 50 minutes, but that was 1997, and it was campy, and it was work for hire and whatever else, just like all actors are work for hire. But the reasoning for me going back to Arnold is he's at least 20 or 30 years older now at this point. And I think if you gave him the right direction, like you're saying, DJ, I think he could pull off a really good old.
You're going with that Hulk, that zombie movie he did, the Schwarzenegger did a couple years ago. Again, I'm going to be casting for talent. Arnold Schwarzenegger's great, but I think he was completely miscast in that movie. He is not Mr. Freeze. He'd have been better as Bane. They're going to cast him as Bane, and that made more freaking sense to me than Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze, as a character, and you bring up that character, I don't know why it slipped my mind. He's one of the most compelling Batman villains because he's not really a bad guy. He's essentially just like Alfred Molina plays him on the Harley Quinn cartoon show, and he's fantastic in it because he nails it. He's a little bit more, you know, humorous, but he still nails it where it's like it's all about Nora. Anybody that gets in my way. And I don't think Keaton is going to be wanting to do, hey, I want to do campy Batman. I don't think he's going to want to do
that. Well, that's why
he
walked away.
Right. He's like, I'm not doing this, you know, this Adam Westy stuff. He wants a scene with an actual person that can hang in a scene with him. Because Michael Keaton, he will eat you alive if you're just, you know, look at Spider-Man Homecoming. And it worked for Spider-Man Homecoming because Peter Parker is supposed to be a novice. Where this guy is like, I will kill your whole family. I don't give a like. That's Michael Keaton can't be put across somebody going zing pow whap. I can't see that happening. It would short circuit the movie for me.
I don't see any other way that could have gone. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I would love to see like a redo it at Mr. Freeze and do him right. Because I think that, you know, as interesting, and I say that kindly, as interesting as Batman and Robin and Batman Forever were, they were not good films. They were too campy, and the villains were quite possibly the worst part of those films, especially when we got to Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin, they're just, I mean,
the whole movie could have been burned.
What they did to the three villains in Batman and Robin, they killed Mr. Freeze, and he got off the best. They murdered Poison Ivy. That, like, that was a destruction of Poison Ivy. And we're not even going to talk about what they did to Bane, where his lines of dialogue consist of bomb and monkey work. That's all Bane says in those movies. That's it. So, yeah. But, I mean, Joel Schumacher, God rest him, he did say that. Oh, God, I was just going with the Adam West thing. But again, if you're going to go campy, you can't. I think Keaton is miscast then, because I don't want Keaton in. I don't think Keaton works in a campy role. You'd have to go get somebody who'd be a fun Batman to do that. But if you have Keaton in there, you're gonna have to go dark. Keaton's Batman is among the darkest. Keaton's Batman, I think, is darker than Bale's Batman. Bale's Batman
is
doing jokes and all types of stuff. Yep. You know, Keaton's Batman he's not even using a crazy voice. He's just. When he's Bruce Wayne, he's Bruce Wayne, and then when he's Batman, he's Batman. That's it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't freaking do anything.
and then he's like, "You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts."
He freaked out the Joker. That's how dark Michael Keaton's Batman is. But Joker was like, "Wow, this guy's nuts. What the hell's going on?"
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, I would love that, and I'd love to see them take on this role. As for the DC Extended Universe,
Whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't have any hope for that.
Again, I think their best option is to be anti-Marvel and separate everything. Have Wonder Woman be her own crap. Have Aquaman be his own crap. Have the Joker movies be its own crap. Have Matt Reeves' Batman be its own crap. And we could just enjoy, because they fundamentally failed at making a universe. Now we got the Snyder Cut coming out, which is essentially saying, hey, remember that way we failed? We're gonna remind you of it. And we're going to give you more of the failure. It's just like, oh no. Why? We're trying to move on. We had a Wonder Woman movie that was essentially taking us away from Steppenwolf and Superman mustaches and all types of crap.
Yeah, I just, that whole Snyder Cut stuff, oh God. As we're recording this, I was trying to see if I could find a reliable source on my Google feed, which apparently it's filled with all these no-name websites that just want to do clickbait. I just saw an article from Gizmo Blaze, whatever the hell that is.
Gizmo Blaze.
I don't know. It's some I don't know. I blocked it on my Google feed. But anyway, it's like
I was like an STD, but all right.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, who'd they say? They said Johnny Depp is going to play the Joker in Batman Beyond, in the Batman Beyond movie. Oh, and they're saying that
Drake Joker or whatever.
No, the Return of the Joker. They're saying if they do a Batman Beyond movie, that it's going to be, and again, speculation, because this article is complete fallacy.
Yeah.
They're saying that it's going to be an adaptation of Return of the Joker, that Johnny Depp is going to play the Joker. And as you guys are talking and I'm sitting here silently reading this, I'm like, no, 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 no. Well, see, stop.
This is where I would go with it, because if they were going to go that route, there's only one logical way to go. Nicholson's too old.
Mm-hmm.
They could pull Hamill in. He could pull off the Joker for one film, especially if they're going to kill him in the end.
Well, remember, in the Return of the Joker, Joker's only in it for a little bit. Spoiler alert for Return of the Joker, because it's Tim Drake that's in the future. So I don't know if you have to even go old. You can go prime Joker, because it's the Joker during when Batman is young. And there's a time jump, and then the Joker comes back and he looks exactly the same, and you realize, oh, it's because it's Tim Drake, not, you know, the original, whatever the real Joker's name is, which we never know. So you can cast a younger actor than Campbell. Though, if you tell me Mark Hamill's playing a Joker, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to be like, please take my money.
Yeah,
exactly. As quickly as possible.
See, that's the thing. You just got a genius idea there, because look, Mark Hamill, if he does do the, like, again, full speculation.
Yep.
Let's say they get Mark Hamill as the Joker and the Batman Beyond movie does happen. he can play both Tim Drake and the Joker. You don't need a Dean Stockwell or whoever or any other actor to play old Tim Drake. He can play both roles already.
They look exactly the same. There's no difference. So,
yeah.
Oh my God. And
it's not like Hamill would mind anyway doing if they could get him for that.
If I remember correctly, isn't Harley in there too? So you could get Margot Robbie in a cameo if you wanted.
As an old lady.
And then I think that the black and white video they make Bruce watch where they're showing Tim Drake tortured. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a young Harley in there somewhere. So they could do it. Again, you could adapt. The thing about Batman Beyond is that it's so fruitful and you can do anything.
Yes.
You don't even have to do Joker. Return of Joker is a great story, but you could do a whole bunch of stuff. We're not even talking about the Amanda Waller, Terry McGinnis, spoiler alert, is a clone of Bruce Wayne stuff. We haven't even touched that. You can that could be the conclusion of the whole thing.
Well, and the funny thing is they did touch on Mr. Freeze. They did touch on Bane. They touched on Ra's and Talia.
Right.
So, I mean, they had a pretty rich universe going there with continuing from the DCAU, and I think that would probably be the best way for Warner Brothers to go if they could get out of their own way enough to do it, especially when Disney is basically recycling their 90s animation and saying, or even their entire back catalog, actually, of anything that was a hit, they're like, oh, ta-da, it's live action now, and it's the same script.
Hell, you could have Cavill, because Superman's around kicking around during that time as well, I believe, right? He's got the gray sideburns, so.
Yep.
But you can have Cavill or Brandon Routh. You could do so much with Batman Beyond. It's almost like, I don't want to bring it to Star Wars, but I get pissed off when they go, we're going to do another Star Wars thing, but it's going to be in the between Return of the Jedi. It's like, go to Old Republic. You can do whatever the hell you want. If you went to Old Republic, you don't have to be hamstrung by anything. You could do whatever you want, but they just won't do it. I don't get it.
I saw something the other day, and this goes back into the whole thing that we tried to talk about in the last episode that nobody heard. That, well, a few people heard it, and then it disappeared.
By popular request?
Yes. But anyway, that potentially Disney is going to get, and I don't know why they would do this, but somebody assumed on the internet, because no one assumes anything on the internet, that Disney is going to erase The Last Jedi.
That's never going to happen.
And I'm like, it's done. It's done. It's put to bed. And yes, I know George sold it and whatever, but I don't know. Like,
I'm not a betting man, but I would bet you $1 billion that will never happen. You want to know why? Do you want to know why they'll never erase The Last Jedi? Though I wish they would, because I'm not a fan of that movie. You're telling me a studio as conscious for bad publicity like Disney is going to be the studio that erases an entire franchise sequel trilogy run by a woman? Erases it. They want to have that as a headline. Kathleen Kennedy's entire universe erased by Disney. They want that headline on everything. No, there's no way in hell.
No way in hell.
No
yeah.
way. No way. Not in 2020, buddy. Maybe in 1915. Not now.
Well,
no
even way. 20 years ago, possibly.
Yeah, probably. Sure. It's true.
I know so. Steve doesn't care about this, and I know we're talking about Batman, but again, I'm scrolling through things as we're recording, and I'm like, what's actually factual that I can bring up?
Apparently, a Wonder Woman movie. That's factual. That's a maiden. That's in the can. Yeah.
There you go.
Snyder Cut, kind of, maybe.
Oh, no. Apparently, the entire Fast franchise is going to come to the Peacock network for NBC.
NBC?
Yep.
They're making a series, or they're making a...
No, as far as what I saw, it's just the films. The films that are already out.
Oh. Again, I think the two most interesting characters... I'm in a minority here, but the two most interesting characters in that entire franchise are Hobbs and Shaw. And I think I'm the only one to watch that movie, because... the rest of them are as interesting as, you know, dry paint. There's nothing. What the hell is Dominic Toretto? Tell me something cool about Dominic Toretto other than he's cool. We don't know why he's cool. He's cool. He doesn't do it. He just drives freaking cars. That's it. There's nothing interesting about him. He's a car thief that apparently is a spy. We don't know how he got those powers. I'm not a huge Fast fan, but I liked Hobbs and Shaw because it's like, okay, the super the ex-MI6 agent and the Tommy Lee Jones Manhunter made a movie. They are actually interesting. Everybody else to me is like, I don't – name me something cool about Jordana Brewster's character. I don't know. Tyrese, he tells jokes inappropriately.
He's comedy relief, yeah.
Right. Roman or whatever. And then you got Ludacris, who went from I own a garage to I'm the best hacker in the world for – inexplicable reasons. It's that the whole universe over there is it's, but it doesn't matter what I think because those movies make billions of dollars, billions upon billions upon billions of dollars.
To bring it back to Batman, because I might have to actually watch this after we're done recording. As of this recording, guess what just appeared on Netflix?
Anime series?
Mask of the Phantasm.
Ooh.
That was the first movie I ever saw in theater, actually.
Really?
Yes.
The first Batman movie I saw in theaters was Returns, because by the time I saw 89, it was already out on VHS, and we had Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck with that lovely 900 number commercial before the film.
We went as a family to see Batman 89, and I was like... I don't think I was even like old enough to appreciate it as much, even though I was just like, oh my God, Batman, but I still didn't like appreciate what I was watching. It felt like it was in the movie theater for 5 minutes because it was flew by. Like I couldn't.
Yeah.
It was craziness. And then when I got older, as I watched it over and over again, it's like, you really appreciate what Jack Nicholson's doing. And then when I got older, I started appreciating what Michael Keaton does, because when you're a kid, you're like almost drawn to the villains. And you kind of forget the good guy because he's good. And then you watch what Michael Keaton does in that movie with, like, you're talking about the Let's Get Nuts scene, which went over my head when I was younger. And when I watch it now, I'm like, this guy is – he is killing the scenery right now. For him to hang in a scene with Jack Nicholson is a testament to how awesome Michael Keaton is. And the whole Robert Wall stuff and all that, you know.
Absolutely.
89 is fantastic.
Totally.
Yes, it is.
So I think that about wraps this episode up. I'm going to pose the question to the listeners. What do you think about our thoughts on this? And what would you do in this situation if he actually does get cast? Mm. You send it feedback at geekcastradio.com. So how can the good people get a hold of you on whether it be social media or podcast?
Me personally, I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to be DJV. Our show, the Simplistic Reviews podcast, is at Simple Tweeters. And you can just go to our website, simplisticreviews.net, where we have a brand new show that launched today as we're recording this. And we launch a show every first of the month.
I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. As always, go to geekcastradio.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at SCP21. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.